Welcome everyone to my talk. Today I will share some lessons that I learned whilst implementing automated testing of voice over IP infrastructure. First, a little bit about me. I have a background in computer science, where I mainly focused on development and verification of software. And during my studies, I found out that bugs are actually very interesting. At least to me, they are, because there's like many different impacts of bugs. Like some bugs are really small and you can just leave them in for a couple of months and no one will notice. And other bugs are that big that it will ruin the user experience for just about everyone. And also the causes of bugs are very interesting, like concurrency issues, deadlocks, all that sorts of stuff. So I actually find bugs very interesting, but as an end user, I don't like seeing bugs in software that I'm using. So I actually made it my mission to sit.
Unmute, yeah?
Yeah, it's unmuted. I hear myself.
Yeah. Maybe speak a bit louder.
A little bit, okay. And I actually made it my mission to help find bugs and detect them. So I actually started working as a software tester at Vicor Connect, which is a telecommunications company for healthcare, which basically allows patients to call their doctor's offices or an emergency post over voice over IP. And it's a Dutch company. And because we have our we basically have our own voice over IP infrastructure over which all the phone calls go. And because it is for healthcare, software correctness is actually crucial, because if one of our systems has like a very big bug in it, then patients might not be able to call their doctor and they might not be able to get the help they actually need at that moment. So I'll first show a little bit about the system and the test, which is the voice over IP backend. And basically what that backend does is it routes calls. For example, we have an incoming call to a certain phone number. We then route the call to that phone number. And if that phone number is in our system, it will always have a dial plan. And the dial plan is basically a state machine, which basically routes the call through several states, where in the state you can like play an audio message to the caller, or you can put the caller in a queue, or let them make a choice by pressing a button on their phone. And I have a quick example over here on the right, where at the top a call comes in. Then the caller first hears a prompt. Then when the prompt is done, they go to a choice menu, and they can like if they press 1, they end up in a queue, and there they just wait till someone is available to talk to them. Or they press 2, and then they talk directly to like a specific user. And basically, all the healthcare organizations can make their own dial plans, or we make them for them, so they can like highly customize what the experience for the patient is. All the phone calls we do using the Session Initiation Protocol, aka SIP, which is a protocol based on HTTP. Even uses some of the codes from HTTP. As you can see there, you see like a 200 OK. And basically what SIP does is communication about calls. So on the right here, you can see Alice wants to call with Bob. And what happens is Alice sends an invite to Bob using the SIP protocol. And in that invite, it basically says where Alice is, where Bob is, and that way the servers in between know where to route the calls. And it sends an invite to Bob. Bob's phone sees that. Bob's phone starts ringing, so it sends a ringing message back to Alice, so Alice knows, like, oh, Bob's phone is ringing. And then when Bob picks up the phone, his phone sends a 200 OK. And then Alice receives a 200 OK, so she now knows, like, oh, we are actually in the phone call. And then a media session is started, where basically Alice and Bob exchange audio or video with each other. And then at the end, Bob wants to hang up the call, so he sends a bye. And then Alice simply acknowledges it with a 200 OK, and then the conversation is over. And now I told you a little bit about the system and the test, but then what do we do actually to test the system? Well, we have our basic test setup is as follows. We wrote it in .NET, and we have about 1,000 system/integration tests for voice over IP calling, and our tests basically follow the standard pattern of range act assert, where we first set up some data, then we perform some actions to get to the state that we actually want to test, and then we do our assertions. But for that, we would like to make actual phone calls, so we needed a .NET library that can actually perform phone calls for us, and we found the library called ZipSorcery, which is an open source library and basically allows you to make phone calls from your code. And the nice thing about it is that it is open source, but it also has a lot of customizations out of the box that you can do. So often you don't even have to touch the code, and it's also under active development, which is nice. And I'll show you quickly how to set up a call using ZipSorcery. Basically, you have two things. You always have a user agent and a media session, just as I showed in the graph. The user agent is for sending all the SIP messages, and the media session is for sending the audio and the video. And basically, what you do to start a call is simply you call the call method with a destination and your media session, and then the call is just started. And at some point, if the call is picked up and you are in a conversation, you can, for instance, send DTMF. And DTMF is the button presses on your phone. So if you like press the button 3 on your phone, you can do that in ZipSorcery by just saying send DTMF. And you can, for instance, also just hang up the call, and there's many more actions you can do. And what I actually want to cover today is the challenges I ran into when developing these automated tests. And I'll talk about realistic phone behavior, audio correctness, and time-sensitive testing. So first, realistic phone behavior. A lot of our customers use the same type of phone, so I wanted to mimic that phone as closely as possible. And the first thing you note about those phones is they are permanently plugged into the wall and online. So if I would create new phones every test, or system under test would actually see phones popping online and offline every few seconds, and that would not be realistic. So what we actually do is, at the start of the test run, we create the number of phones that we need. I think we have like about 10 that we just then reuse for every test in that run. Then you do have the problem that I want to make assertions on the SIP messages that the phone received. So every test, I wipe all history. And if I receive any messages from call IDs that I used in a previous test, I just ignore them because they were from previous tests. I don't care about them in the current test. I also had to overwrite some headers in the SIP messages, mainly for routing in our own systems. And most of them I could actually do without touching any source code from ZipSorcery itself, because it has a lot of extensibility methods, so I could just do the overwrites in there. And for one, I did have to overwrite the code, but it wasn't that hard. And whilst I was making the phones similar to the actual phones, I actually found an interesting bug, which is about sending the DTMF button presses too fast, because in ZipSorcery you can just send DTMF on a loop as fast as the computer can do it. But how button presses actually work on a phone is you press a button, it sends an audio tone. So if you press the button one a lot of times, it will all those tones will merge into each other, and our system doesn't know how many times you pressed one. But then we actually looked up how fast humans do it. Then I changed the speed to match human speed, and then it was like, oh, it's not actually a bug. We were doing it way too fast, and now the bug is gone again. So we actually had to make our tests a little bit slower. Another very interesting challenge was audio correctness. I sometimes want to test if I have like a phone, which other phones can I hear, because we also have that you can call to a room, and then you have like multiple phones, and I want to know which ones you can hear and also at which moments in time. So what I basically did is, to distinguish each phone, I just let each phone play a different frequency. And it happened, I got lucky in ZipSorcery, they actually have a frequency generator, a frequency tone generator that you can use as an audio stream. I just extended it slightly too, so I could pick the frequency and the loudness myself. And what I basically do in a test is I store all the audio I receive, and then I do assertions on that. And basically what I do is on the recording I get back, I do a frequency analysis. I actually just use a tool for that because I don't have a physics degree. But basically, it does a fast Fourier transform with a Hamming window. With that, I can see what frequencies there are present in the recording, and I can match them. Like, for example, if I see frequency 500, I know that's phone 1, so I know phone 1 could be heard in the conversation. I have a quick example to show frequency analysis. This is a screenshot from Audacity where I just opened my audio file in. And basically here you can see the frequency on the Y, on the X-axis, and the loudness on the Y-axis. Basically, you see two peaks over there at 500 hertz and around 700 hertz. So basically, two phones could be heard in this graph. And there are some restrictions on this, mainly caused by just physics. And one is that all your phones should play a frequency that are not multiples of each other. Otherwise, you get harmonics, and then you might see like a little peak and you're like, is that the harmonic of the first phone or is it the second phone? So you actually need to choose your frequencies that are just not multiples of each other. And another thing is you shouldn't play your tones too loud, because if it's too loud, normally you have a nice sine wave, then you get a sine wave that it's too loud, so it gets cut off. So you get a straight line and then it goes down again. Then the analysis will be less accurate, and that will cause an issue. And one con I do have to mention, which was kind of funny, is if you sometimes have to like manually check an audio file for my test, if a test failed, for example. If you then just like play the file and accidentally over your speakers, all your colleagues hear you playing a very loud sine wave, it's not pleasant for your ears. So I did on purpose choose low frequencies to not kill my own ears, but yeah. That's one thing to keep in mind. The last challenge I want to talk about is time-sensitive testing. Because pretty much when you set up a phone call, it might take a while to get a response back, because the message has to go through multiple servers and come back, and then someone has to answer the call or reject the call, something like that. So phone actions aren't instant. Luckily, we can subscribe to certain call events. For instance here, I subscribe to an incoming call event, where basically if I'm being called, I can this handler is basically run. And what I do is all the sort of events or SIP messages I received, I just add to a list. And what I do is I wait till a certain event happened by checking, by continuously checking as the event entered the list. And I check that till I hit a timeout, because otherwise your test could run infinitely long. And if I hit the timeout, we've waited for way too long, so I mark the test as invalid, because we can't reach the state which we want to test, so the test is useless, or we just can't use it. And if you do find the event, we just continue till to the next steps. One thing to keep in that we had to keep in mind with that is how to pick the length of the timeout. So if your timeouts are too short, your tests become flaky, because then sometimes you are within the timeout and sometimes you're outside the timeout. So then your test sometimes fails and sometimes passes. And then like that's caused by your own test and not actually by the system under test. So that's not what you want. So what we do is we chose for each event the maximum allowed time, and we kind of base those numbers on what a user would experience. For instance, if I if someone starts a phone call, then the other person should, for example, receive it in at minimum of at maximum at 5 seconds. If it after 5 seconds you still didn't get it, that's way too long for us. So we put our timer at 5 seconds, so we don't wait too long. And basically, then I had those nice timeouts, but then I ran into the issue that I started running tests in a pipeline. And it turns out pipeline has a lot less resources than my own computer, so I actually, the tests started to become flaky again because the timeout was too short, so they sometimes were within the timeout and sometimes outside the timeout. So I simply implemented a multiplier that I can just add in the test settings, and basically if we're running on the pipeline, I just multiply it by a certain amount is 2 weeks longer. So that was the main challenges I came across. So I covered how you can use Subsurgery to test the voice over IP backend. And I went over the challenge of having realistic phone behavior, audio correctness, and time-sensitive testing. Sorry?
So you have your phone connects to like a voice over IP backend?
Yeah.
This backend, it's sitting there or it's booted specifically for your test?
I have my own test environment where it runs. It's not the same as production.
And so you cannot really test like topology changes in the backend or things like that, or you can?
No, if they change IP addresses in production, I'm not going to see it in test, no.
No, but I mean, in your testing, you can say, okay, if I have 3 backend nodes, 1 fails. Could you do that in your scenarios?
I don't think so. We work with a lot of redundancies. If one node goes down, I wouldn't notice because the other ones take over.
If they work.
If they work, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Next question. Okay, I have a question. So you. What kind of tools do you use for the CI/CD pipelines where these tests are running?
Right now, I think they are Azure pipelines. The tests just run in there because we just compile to a .NET program and we can just run it from command line in the pipeline. And with, I think, just .NET test is just a command line test runner that just runs all my tests and then generates a report and that's automatically picked up and it shows the results.
Okay.
But we're still a work in progress on that one.
Okay, so does this mean that kinda you just kick these tests off by hand most of the time? Maybe it's not that frequent?
Right now, I still kick them off by hand. I do, like, at the end of every sprint, I do a regression. I run the entire test run, which takes about 3 hours.
Okay. Ready. We have other questions, please. No other questions. Yes, that's it. Thank you very much.